98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
Okay. I want to go to Maloney. Is this something you got to keep? Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Flash the three. Hour number three of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning. Broadcasting in our DoorDash jeans on a Cowbell Friday.
Now, do you have to keep this quiet, or can you go in
I haven't even read it yet. I don't know.
Right,
Doug,
right,
I mean, you know, I don't think I should go to it right now. I haven't read it.
Okay, well, now you have me curious.
Yeah.
Wolf is reporting?
Wolf got a tweet, so it's not a secret text.
I can we verify this? Winston McKellar.
Winston McKellar's working for the weekend?
I believe it is Nick McKellar's father, ladies and gentlemen.
So sons and four dad.
You're not going to believe
this. Sons and four dad.
Yeah, okay.
Winston McKellar says, Wolf 98.7 FM, it has been very interesting to say the least, being Nick McKellar's father.
Wow.
As an avid listener to you and Doug, it brought a smile to my face. How you are enjoying my son's rise to fame is the sons and four. Winston.
Oh, my gosh.
We love you, Winston. Thank you, brother, for chiming in this morning.
Well, Winston, we got to give you credit. I mean, you raised a young man that keeps things under control, doesn't start it, but knows how to finish it. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be.
He was assaulted after all.
I know. Wow. Well, Winston, good morning. Hopefully you enjoy the Rush Hour reboot when Maloney takes over and she gives us all of the latest headlines. You tweet us at Doug and Wolf 98.7 if you love what we say or it just drives you crazy.
So for the first time this season, the Staples Center will be at maximum seating capacity as the Clippers have the chance to close out the Jazz tonight in Game 6 of their Western Conference semifinal. Here's Quinn Snyder on the win-or-go-home situation Utah is facing.
You know, we know what's at stake. You know, feel good, feel confident that we'll head down there and do everything we can do, you know, to bring the series back here.
Jazz Clippers, who wins tonight in Game 6? Not who do you want to win, but who wins?
I'm going to say it's the same answer for both. I want the Jazz to win, and I do think the Jazz will win because obviously Game 5 got their attention. I think they're a better team when they're focused, and I do admit the Clippers looked 400 times better without Kawhi, and I don't know if there's some kind of weird chemistry thing going on. I just don't think Paul George is going to have back-to-back games like that. And if I'm wrong, then look out, Suns. Because if Paul George is going to keep playing like that, it makes the Clippers a total threat.
Desperation is a wonderful master, and I think the Jazz are going to be desperate, no doubt about it. Unless Donovan Mitchell is somehow, some way more hobbled than what we've seen, I think the Jazz are going to win Game 6, and then we'll get to that all-important Game 7. And from that point on, yeah, I'd love to play the Clippers, but I really don't care. In the end, it's about the Suns more than anything else.
MVP Nikola Jokic gives Sun center DeAndre Ayton an uplifting message on a signed jersey, saying, quote, "To my brother D.A., you are a beast. Keep up the good work." Here's Jay Crowder when he was on Bigley Murata yesterday discussing the growth of D.A.
And before I even came on air with you guys and to say I'm proud of him, I told him to his face I'm proud of him, especially after Game 4. In Denver, I told him I'm proud of him. And that jersey, Jokic sending the jersey to him showed his respect for you, and you got that by just playing basketball, not by talking, not by anything, but between the lines, mutual respect, and that's the highest respect you can get from your peers.
Can I just say that, first of all, D.A., slippery is the snake. Beware, my friend, always. Yet having said that, right now, do you think that Jay Crowder has been rough on DeAndre Ayton from time to time at a certain point this season? Yes, he has been. Do you think Chris Paul has been rough on DeAndre Ayton at a certain point this season. Yes. Do you think Devin Booker? Do you think Monty Williams? Now you got to give him some sugar. And that's exactly what Jay Crowder is doing right here. Not only is Jay Crowder right about what he's saying, but it's also the impact of giving DA a little bit of sugar that you've been rough on him.
And I think the key here is to realize that DA isn't going to be here if it wasn't for people being hard on him. He deserved it. I mean, this man was benched in fourth quarters this year.
You know, so when you watch, you guys can't see this locally, but when you watch the Suns on League Pass, when they go to break, you can watch the cameras that are, you know, because you don't see the local commercials. So you watch the cameras that are in the arena. And a lot of times they're on the huddle. And it's DeAndre probably leads the league in getting yelled at by his teammates.
I love that from Brian Windhorst, and it's so true, and he deserved it. And now the only thing I don't like about this story is I don't want somebody else calling him a beast and making him feel like he's arrived.
Yes.
DA, don't change the way you're growing because somebody says you've arrived.
You are growing, not grown.
Mm-hmm.
The Diamondbacks set a new MLB record with their 23rd straight road loss as they fell to the Giants yesterday 10-3. Here's D-backs manager Torey Lovello.
It's nothing we're proud of, and we're in sole possession of the most consecutive losses on the road. And we are set out to play the way we never, on this journey, when it started in spring training, we never set out to put us in a position to have these type of outcomes. It's been an extended period of time.
Our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it asks, do the Diamondbacks need to make a managerial change? Your options, yes, right now, yes, at the All-Star break, yes, after the season is over, no.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I really am not, and I know that's going to infuriate an awful lot of people out there, and that's okay. I just think Torey Lovello is good at his job. I think he's a good manager. I think he hasn't had great talent around him since he's shown up here, and I think he's done an excellent job getting him over 500. I know what happened last year with a pandemic. I'm going to give him a total pass. I give everyone a total pass last year for the pandemic. Yet I know you could sit there and say, well, the Dodgers won the World Series. I'm not going to put an asterisk next to them because it was the pandemic. But, man, I'll tell you what, there were a lot of people that were suffering, a lot of people that were worried about suffering and had people in their family suffering because of that. It becomes very difficult to actually focus on playing the game of baseball or any professional sport. So I'm going to give them a pass for 2020 this year. I don't know what to say about this year, but I know that once again, I'm not going to fire somebody that I know is good at his job. I'm going to give him better players.
Torey, I am so sorry for saying this, but watching your recent press conferences, you know what you remind me of? You remind me of Alvin Gentry about 3 days, 4 days before he was fired by the Suns. Just looking like you're just tired of it. Like you're just, you've done all you can. And I will never forget, Alvin Gentry came on our show about 14 hours after he had been fired. And Alvin Gentry said, it was time, guys. We came in wanting to fight it. No, it's not Alvin Gentry's fault. Alvin Gentry should not be fired. We swept the Spurs with this guy. And he told us it was time as the guy that got fired. And I'm kind of watching the D-backs go through the motions right now, and I feel like I don't think it's going to get better by firing Torey Lovello. I mean, write that down.
And that's why I don't fire him.
So if you're just firing him to make yourself feel good, listen, it's not going to make this thing any better. But I do feel like there comes a point in time where even the guy in it is like, you know what? I've done all I can.
Yeah, and if he's at that point, then you do fire him.
Yeah.
And then you do.
I feel like everybody's at that point. That you know it's inevitable when a team's this bad, so it's almost like, why wait? I think the players have checked out, and I blame the players, not Torey. But I would still look at it and say it's time.
I believe in the Pittsburgh Steeler approach. You hire people that you know are good, excellent at their job, and then you live with it. Give them better players. That's what he needs.
What's the voting app, Maloney?
So, 79% say yes right now.
Right now, 79%.
14% say no. 75% say yes after the season is over, and then 2% say yes at the All-Star break.
Oh, 79%.
That's not a surprise, though.
Coming up next, Jay Crowder. How are the Suns doing? Anybody saying Suns in four? That's next on 98.7 FM. Winston, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
Could you share what your personal reaction was to getting the news about Chris Paul testing positive for COVID, Jay?
Just a little adversity to where you want to be, and that's to be the last team standing. So we're where you need to be. We'll be fine.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter.
Just going to do the next right thing.
Honestly, it's not that difficult. It's two teams. We're preparing for both of them.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
Jazz Clippers game 6 tonight in LA. Clippers win, it's over. Game 1 Western Conference Finals comes up on Sunday, and it would be in Phoenix at Phoenix Suns Arena. Jazz win tonight. Game 7 is on Sunday of Clippers Jazz in Utah. Mm. And then we don't know where game 1 would be, but we know when. Then it would be Tuesday night, either at Phoenix Suns Arena against the Clippers or at Salt Lake City, and it would be the Jazz hosting the Suns. Those are the two options. Jay Crowder was on with yesterday. He was on with Bickley and Murata, and they got into a topic that was kind of interesting, and I think that this is a good way to just dive in. Number one was the subject of toughness, which I loved.
I mean, it just brings a different mindset. You just set the mindset for your whole team. I think when you have guys who are mentally stable and mentally prepared for war, any battle, that triggers down to each guy in the locker room. So I just feel like when your leaders have that mindset, it's definitely beneficial, especially during this time of the year, playoff basketball, when you're trying to fight to be the last team standing. So it's great to be a part of other guys having the same mindset and mentality as me, and our whole locker room being on the same page with the same mindset.
Man, it just fills me with so much juice to listen to Jay Crowder right there talking about, you know what, we've got other guys who feel exactly the same way, have the same mindset. Do you know what that does inside a locker room? Inside a locker room where you've got some guys that are legendarily tough dudes. Man, it goes back to what my coach said all the time, that if you get enough dogs in a locker room, even the cats start barking. That's what I think about right there. And just to listen to Jay Crowder, and it's one of the most underrated parts of the Phoenix Suns, in my opinion. The talent is there. Everyone can see the talent is there. Devin Booker, you watch Devin Booker play the game of basketball, you say to yourself, this is a talented individual. You watch Chris Paul play the game, you're like, this is an incredibly talented dude. You watch DeAndre, you watch some of these guys play the game. The Phoenix Suns have talent. They also play as a team very, very well. They play great team defense. They are a great team. They share the ball. They are so good as a team collectively. And then they are tough. The three T's: talent, team, and tough. Guts. And the fact that you got a guy like Jay Crowder, he expedites the process of your team adopting that kind of mentality. Chris Paul expedites that adoption of mentality. That's what you need. Guys, veterans that you're going to bring in to the locker room that impact people and influence teammates. And that's why I am so jacked up. I think the Phoenix Suns are still a work in progress. I don't think they have peaked. We were talking about this earlier, Douglas. I think they're developing. They're still on that climb. They're on a mountain climb right now, man. Where it ends, I don't know.
That toughness also leads into being able to overcome what might happen. A lot of people forget Jay Crowder was Big East Player of the Year. Big East isn't like a small town little basketball conference. I'm pretty serious about it. And then think about the last, months for him. he's on a team where everybody doesn't like, I shouldn't say everybody, he's on a team with formerly the guy nobody likes, Jimmy Butler, and the team galvanizes behind his toughness, and they go to the NBA Finals. Now he's on a team where you look at Chris Paul, and it's pretty similar. Chris Paul wore out his welcome in a lot of places. Why? Because people didn't want to work as hard as he did. And then look at what he's done now when he's got a team of people that are willing to follow. Maybe this is Jay Crowder's time if they don't have CP3.
I mean, it's very high. I mean, we feel like coming into it, we knew. I did my part of preaching about adversity to the guys, younger guys, about their first playoff series that they're going into. It's going to be challenges and adversity, and you got to stick together. And I think this is one of them. This is another one of them that we have to overcome, and we will overcome. But that's our mindset. That we had that mindset before we even had our first playoff game. So it's just another adversity milestone that we got to overcome, and we will overcome it.
You know, this is the definition of leadership right here, what you're hearing from Jay Crowder. This is what you do. It's not only the saying part of it, right? Because you've already earned the right to say, because he's already done. But it's also walking up on dudes privately. After you say it collectively, you'll also walk up on dudes and say, come on, man, this is what we need from you right here. And by the way, overcoming adversity, do you think Jay Crowder has overcome adversity in his life? It wasn't like he was a top five pick. I mean, here's a guy that was drafted in the second round. This is a guy that has overcome a lot of adversity himself and made himself a great player, made himself a good player, and carved out an excellent career. Jay Crowder, this is the definition of leadership. And this is what's going on inside the locker room. And this is why culture matters. Guys like Jay Crowder, the influence and the impact they have on these young guys. And maybe that's why we're seeing these young guys like DeAndre Ayton grow, like Cam Johnson grow, Campaign grow, Mikal Bridges grow. Even Devin Booker grow. When you are surrounded by stability, guys like Jay Crowder, guys like Chris Paul, you're surrounded by this stability. It is aid, comfort, and shelter to a budding superstar like Devin Booker. Love it. The chemistry that they got going on right now inside the locker room, that's what jacks me up. This is the kind of thing you need. It's the intangible nobody talks about, yet it is the glue to your talent, the glue to your team.
You mind if I drop a bombshell with 3 beautiful seconds left in this beautiful part of the program? Do you think there's any chance one of the owners of the Suns says, I kind of like the way this championship run feels, and decides to play football?
I don't think so. That's just my gut feeling on that.
Just out of nowhere, I just started wondering, you know.
We're not talking to Larry next, are we?
No. He's still not returning your text other than
Ron Wolfley gives you the latest on Larry.
Yes, Larry.
Last time you texted him.
Call me, Larry.
Last time you texted him, didn't he say, I hope the family's good, and that was it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he said.
Coming up next, Jazz Clippers Game 6.
Call me, Larry.
Best case scenario. And it's a little deeper than what you might think. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been a text.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals. Now.
The first sign that you're a good team is obviously you start winning games. The second sign that you're a good team is that you're advancing in the playoffs. Sign number 3 just happened, if you're wondering. And it's not good collectively, but it's great individually. The at Real GM reporting, Willie Green has been added to the Magic's candidate list. This is a man that is 100% ready to be a head coach. It would hurt the Suns.
Yes.
But as you look at it from a team standpoint, whenever any organization starts getting guys promoted from it, then the best young assistants look at it and say, that's a place I would like to go.
Indeed, Douglas.
So it's a great story for Willie Green. Again, he hasn't been hired, but this is a guy that if you've noticed lately in the last couple months and specifically in the postseason, more and more Monty keeps dropping Willie Green's name in press conferences, giving him credit for different defensive rotations, different defensive strategies. I don't think Willie Green cares what my opinion is, but I think the man is totally ready. I can't stand on the table as much as I used to for guys because of COVID. I'm not, you know, like they're just as involved, and there's distance between things and things like that. But just hearing what Monty says and texting people around the league and things like that, there's a lot of people that have a lot of positives to say about Willie Green. So there's news affecting the Suns that the Orlando Magic have added him to their candidate list, and there are a ton of jobs available. This will not be the first organization that wants to talk to Willie Green.
And here's a guy that is heavily involved in the Suns defense and how they play defense. And that to me is the best thing about this.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? The Suns getting noticed for that. Planet Purple indeed.
So selfishly, I don't want Willie Green to leave, but totally. This guy is totally ready to be a head coach.
Feather in the cap, man.
And I think he would be a good one. James Jones was on Burns and Gambo Wednesday and was asked the question, your previous games against the Clippers, not very good. Your previous games against the Jazz, pretty good. Does it matter?
It does. If you look at the process and just not the result, I think against those teams, we had some struggles, we had some challenges, but we played good basketball. We made, you know, got defensive stops when we needed to. We executed on offense when we needed to. And we played our style of basketball for good stretches against both of those teams. And those are two really good teams. And so that carries over the way you play, the way you respond to the adversity in the game carries over. You know, the result, whether or not you win or lose the game, there are too many factors in the regular season for you to say, we beat this team three times, we're better. You know, we lost to this team two times, we're not better than them. I think you have to look at, you know, the progress and the stretches of good basketball. And if we can translate that, if that translates and we can string together stretches of good basketball, I think we're a tough team to beat.
There it is right there.
That man answers questions differently than a lot of people, doesn't he?
No, he does. There's no doubt about it, but I absolutely love what he's saying.
It's always deeper than you expect.
Yes, it always is. It's a situation where if you translate all of that, we're still evolving. Mm-hmm. We have not peaked. We're still evolving. We're becoming something. And where that ends, I don't know. But if we play our kind of basketball and play up to our talent level and play like the team we are, we'll win, regardless of who it is.
Well, we don't know who it is, but tonight's going to go a long way in determining that. Quinn Snyder yesterday.
You can't help but feel positive about our group, even when, you know, you're faced with, you know, a situation like we have coming off a loss and heading into a game six that's a win or go home type game for us. So it's something our guys have responded to. You know, obviously these games are different and they're playoff games, but I really believe in the character of our team and our ability to rally around adversity and difficult situations.
I like where he's going, but this is a big deal tonight. I mean, I think we all know this. There's a high probability that you might not have.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe that Chris Paul will be ready for Sunday's game one.
It's been a long week.
I find it totally easy to believe Chris Paul will be ready for Tuesday's game one. Does that make sense? You know, I think game seven for the Western Conference semifinals really needs to happen to have Chris Paul in game one.
I would agree.
So therefore, tonight's game is huge, and yet how do you really know who has the upper hand? Clippers fans aren't really that great, so it's not like there's an enormous home court advantage, and I bet there will be a lot of Jazz fans in the building. But they don't have Kawhi Leonard, and I have zero idea if the Jazz truly have Mike Conley and if they truly have Donovan Mitchell. I mean, I think one for sure is going to dress. I think one for sure is going to play. But are they really who they are? And if the Jazz lose a game five with the 3-point shooting they have in the first half, it is a little hard to believe it's suddenly going to be a better team unless Donovan Mitchell is healthy.
Doom.
And he did not look healthy
Doom.
In game five. But you just believe the Jazz are better and they're going to take it more seriously that Kawhi isn't there and not have some of the checkout moments defensively in the first half that they did in that game.
So, Douglas, who do you want the Suns to play? Who do you want them to meet? Clippers, Jazz, Douglas. Declare! It's Friday.
Who do I want? If Donovan Mitchell was 100%, I would want to beat the Jazz because I would want this moment in time. Yes, Stockton and Malone, they were good enough to win a championship if it wasn't for Jordan. But I want this moment in time of two franchises that are still historic without a championship pedigree.
I see.
To meet and to settle the score because I think this championship is wide open. I agree with Dave Pasch. You said on the Doug and Wolf show yesterday, as long as Kevin Durant is healthy, the Nets are the favorite. But I do think that the title, the championship, is wide open this year. And so I would like it to be Jazz Suns. Devin Booker prove he's better to the masses than Donovan Mitchell, despite Mitchell's all-star bids, and win the championship that Jazz fans will always know you could have had. However, the Clippers... I like the karma better. I'm rooting for the Clippers to win game seven, not game six. But I'm rooting for them because you tanked to avoid the Lakers.
Okay.
I want the same team that knocked out the Lakers to knock out the Clippers. And I need to find it because you asked me and I wasn't quite prepared.
Yeah.
But one of the best tweets I've received in weeks was from Jesse. At Mean Daddy Jesse.
Jesse's girl?
And no. And at Mean Daddy Jesse says, we want to play the Clippers so we can knock both Morris brothers out of the playoffs. I'm a big fan of that tweet.
I just want to say this quickly right here. The Clippers are tankers. That sets the table for me right now if I'm a son. Inside that locker room. Let's go out and handle these boys.
They basically picked you. They basically said, we can't beat the Lakers, but we can beat anybody who beats the Lakers.
They're tankers. That sets the tone and sets the table for me. The Clippers without Kawhi, of course, are a different team. They've got one guy now that can close out games, and that one guy has a spotty history in regard to pressure-packed games. Isn't that right, Paul George? And the Suns, ultimately, would have home court advantage. Hey, that pretty much sets it for me. I'd want to see them beat the Clippers. That's who I want to play. Let's take them down.
You want to see it? I don't know whether it's going to be
you
Jazz.
Want a piece of me?
I don't know whether it's going to be Jazz coming here in games 3 and 4 or the Clippers coming here in games 1 and 2. But you have a chance to see it. Do you want to go to the Western Conference Finals? If your answer is yes... Of course, you can buy tickets when they become available, or you can try to win them, or do both. Text ticket right now if you want in. Text ticket to 620-620, and you could get a pair of tickets for the hottest tickets in town, Suns in the Western Conference Finals. Text ticket to 620-620. We've been saying it for a long time. We're lucky to have Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Mid-round draft pick in the first round. But do we really realize why we're lucky to keep him as another franchise might lose theirs? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You want a piece of me?
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now.
It is amazing right now that there are 7 head coaching vacancies in the NBA, and one of them, I think the most shocking to me is still New Orleans, that they had an opening that opened up after a 1-year head coach in Stan Van Gundy was let go. But the Dallas one is intriguing because of the storyline.
This was a situation where
this run for him in his mind had ended. 13 years in Dallas, a lot of change in that organization. Donnie Nelson, their de facto general manager, leaving just days ago.
Now, before you get mad at me and say, why are you talking Mavericks? Suns in four, or I'll punch you. No, it is Suns. It is. I knew I'd get you on that. Where's Rougned?
Just honestly, stop it.
Where's Rougned Odor?
Will you?
There
Winston.
Is, that one got me. It's a Devin Booker topic to me.
Yeah.
It started off with a report. I think it was in The Athletic. I want to give them credit. They might have just got a free plug and I'm wrong. But it started off as a report that Luka is really fired up and frustrated in Dallas. And rumors were already starting that he might want to go somewhere. And then the owner, Mark Cuban, blasted those rumors, said this is all totally untrue, everything's fine. Then the general manager, not the general manager in title, but the guy that's been running the personnel department for almost 20 years, Donnie Nelson, or Don Nelson Jr., depending on how well you know him, he's out. Now Rick Carlisle is out. And so you have two guys, mainstays in this organization, that are gone. And it made me realize this is all, there's got to be smoke in this fire somewhere. And it could have been us. I mean, I really look at the signing of Chris Paul might have saved Devin Booker to stay while Luka Doncic, as he's closing in on his restricted free agency eligibility, could be saying, I don't want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. And that could have been us very, very easily if not for the signing of Chris Paul.
First of all, I think Rick Carlisle is a great coach, Mason O'Neill. There's so many people out there that are in the industry that would back that up and give me the wolf howl on that one, as a matter of fact. That's how good he is as a coach. I think he's a fantastic coach. My fascination with this story is the fact that this conversation he had with Mark Cuban lasted for days. That's what I'm saying, though. Two or three days of face-to-face conversations. To me, he was given listen, I want you to think about this. Go back to your home, talk to your wife, whatever it may be, your family. Think about this. Can you do this? There had to be some type of criteria that was offered to Rick Carlisle that he had to say yay or nay to. And I think he chose nay.
It's really interesting, too, because Mark Cuban is an excellent owner. Players really like playing for him. But he is a guy that's going to be involved with the coach-player relationship. I mean, he is a guy that wants to be close to the players. And this is massive amounts of speculation. I'm basing this on the norm of a close coach or player owner relationship, and not saying this is what's happening in Dallas, but in a lot of player owner relationships, you get to a situation where the player opens up about problems he has with the coach, and a coach the stature of a Rick Carlisle, I would say in other situations, doesn't want to hear what the owner thinks I should do in order to make my player feel better, placate this, that, the other.
That is a great supposition.
So in no way am I saying that's what's happened in Dallas, but I can tell you, as a guy that's been in the media for 30 years, anytime you have a player-owner relationship, it can get in the way of player-coach. And once the owner thinks I need to get involved here, maybe a young coach, a rookie coach, or something like that says, okay. But an established head coach is usually saying, no way.
When I hear you say that, the first thing I think of is RG3.
Yes, absolutely.
The first thing I think
Mike
of.
Mike Shanahan, right, Daniel Snyder.
There it was right there. Suddenly, it wasn't the player-coach relationship. It was the player-owner relationship. And that violates the chain of command, so to speak. Maybe that's what it is exactly right there.
And that alone could be something where I just don't want to go through this anymore, and I don't know what's happened here.
Well stated by you, Doug.
Now the question is, okay, does Luka want out, or does somebody else get brought in that's going to save this Luka relationship? And the reason why I'm so transfixed on this has everything to do with Devin Booker. And I'll say it forever. Devin Booker never deserves media people like me bringing up Devin Booker leaving. But every NBA player that's on a max contract deserves the subject to be brought up because of James Harden.
You're so media.
Because of Anthony Davis. Because it happens time and time again where players sign max deals and then don't like the way it turns and they force their way out. And it's not unfair to bring it up, but it's unfair to bring it up for the individual. And I think signing Chris Paul, of course the winning has helped, but signing Chris Paul has a lot to do with the fact that I think Devin Booker's going to stay.
Man, this is really blowing my mind right now because you have actually said something salient on this broadcast, and I'm thinking, is it possible that Rick Carlisle...
That you could listen like this all the time?
Rick Carlisle actually went to Mark Cuban and said, hey, I want to talk to you about this.
Mm.
I want to talk
instead
about
of the owner giving the ultimatum, it's
your
the coach
relationship
to the owner.
With Doncic... You got to let me coach him. Get out of the way. He can't be in your ear, and you can't be in his. You got to get out of the way.
And if
maybe this is the conversation they were having over days.
And if you're Mark Cuban, you have an established relationship with Dirk Nowitzki. He's one of your closest friends. You feel like I've earned this for years. I'm good at what I do as an owner with relationship with players. And quite frankly, I think that's why he wants to own a team too. I think he loves that. I think he loves being friends with players.
I want you to stop talking to Doncic. All right? That's what I want from you, Mark. I want you to stop talking to Doncic. I want you to go home.
Rick Carlisle's not from the Bronx.
I want you to go home. I want you to talk to your family about this.
Do you want a piece of me?
I want you to go home and talk to your family as to whether or not you can get out of my way. And if you can't, I'm resigning.
Rick Carlisle is not related to Joey Batts.
No, I'm just saying.
Or not Joey Batts. I forgot. I just blanked on one of my movie references. Goodfellas.
Forget about it. I have no idea what you're talking about right now. I'm not going to bail you out.
What do I? Do I amuse you?
No.
The big shoes?
I'm not talking about Tommy. I'm talking about the guy that Tommy killed. Who's the guy that Tommy killed and put him in the trunk?
Oh, my goodness. I have no idea what you're talking about, but you ruined my point.
I actually added to it until I got Jose Bautista mixed up with a mafia crime boss.
Maybe it was Mark Cuban who had to go home and talk to the family about whether or not he could get out of Luka's hair. That is truly fascinating right there. You know what's cool about this, Macedonians? We're going to find out. We're going to find out. Somebody is going to squeal.
Billy!
What?
It's Billy Batts. Sorry.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know. You never get any of my movie references, but
no,
that's not the point.
You and David Charles.
Billy Batts. I
read a book.
I'm sorry, America. That was my bad. Coming up next, the growth of DA continues, as the deterioration of this show does too. And now there's a reward for what he's doing. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.